I mean, inspiration mostly never come from music. To me, it comes from images, you know, from life. From we do, even when we talk with Olivier, you know, when we do the music together, right, we talk in images much more than technical stuff. We are sharing emotions.
Really?
To us, a song is a landscape. Yeah, yeah. We really go like, okay, what would be the sound of a diving rock in the water? It's just, for us, it's mountains, it's lakes, it's roads, it's everything. It's feelings of wind that we want to put in the music, or, you know, drying sun, burning sun, or cold snow, all this stuff that we talk, we exchange like this, much more than, okay, let's do a minor or a major or something, you know.
You just heard Simon Buret of the French pop rock act Aaron, whose new music video, Ultra Rev, features collaborator and fellow fan of the band, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean's daughter Bianca directed the cinematic clip. Aaron's new album, Anatomy of Light, has been described as a fantasy adventure soundtrack where electronics reign supreme, a celebration of the transformation of darkness to bright, shining light. I'm Gregory Day, you're listening to the Portland Podcast. Simon joins us from Paris today to chat about the new record and his burgeoning career as a fine artist. We'll also hear the story of how the band connected with Jean-Claude. Anatomy of Light's opening track, The Flame, also features a memorable music video as the band lets loose in an abandoned French nightclub. More on that right now from Simon. This video is just pure joy. It's a single take.
Yeah.
I'm curious how long it took to plan this music video.
To plan it? Well, just a little bit. Not so much. We had the idea of, we wanted to project what would be the first sparkle when you try to reach freedom, when you are like, you know, this saying, dance like nobody's watching, you know, like this feeling of freedom that no one really allows himself to do nowadays, you know. It's just something that we wanted to put on light. Was just, I mean, the song name is The Flame, and it's about the first the first sparkle when you meet someone, you know that it's going to happen, but it's not there yet. I mean, you wish for it, you know. You're just like, come on, let's do it, take the risk to reach out, to say the first word, the first step, something like that, you know, that we all experience from time to time. And so we've decided to put it in the club because this club was the emptiness of the club was just to, as a symbol, was just very powerful for us, because there is this, there are these laws around the world, everywhere now in the modern society, is saying that you are allowed to dance here, to do this kind of things here and not there. You know, we have rules everywhere. And it's always occurred to me that it was really strange how people allow themselves to get crazy, get drunk, get passed out, do crazy things in a nightclub. And then they just walk like maybe, I don't know, a few steps after the walls, and then they're in the streets and they don't do anything anymore, because, you know, they put back their tie on and the costumes and everything, and they go back to work. And these spots of freedom are very interesting to me, and I wanted to push that in the light a little bit, saying this is an empty club. This is the symbol was, you are in your own world, you know. It's just like, it could be the inner self, this club, you know. It's what happens in a body, in something when nobody's watching, you know.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Do you feel as if you're inside yourself when you're painting? I was checking out your acrylics, your inks. I believe had a showing 10th through the 24th of September. How was the showing? How did that go?
The show was fantastic. It was it's a different feeling than music, of course. I mean, painting is the same thing, but it's close to the heart. You know, you just let yourself go, and sometimes you just, I don't know, maybe... it's nice to be manual as well, you know, because music is very theoretical, sorry.
Yeah.
But I like to, the link would be, I hope that in my painting there is music, and I hope that there is images in our songs. That would be the link. But yeah, it's a different feeling because you don't do anything. You're just standing in the middle of your own stuff on the walls, and people are talking. I mean, you are the viewer with the people. You know, you're it's not the same. You're not creating it as as you are here, whether with music, you're on stage, that you are in the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was actually curious of your artistic influences. I see a bit of Jean-Michel Basquiat in your work.
Sweet.
And it's very, very abstract, lots of bottles and lots of animals and flowing bodies.
Lots of feelings.
Yes.
It's really hard to describe. It's just, I guess I'm trying to put a feeling out there.
Kind of jazz, too. I feel a bit of jazz in your work, too,
yeah.
With color schemes
and
abstract lines. I specifically enjoyed Hellas and Hellas 2. Beautiful works.
Sweet.
You have an Instagram page dedicated just to your art. I discovered that last night, actually. It's another element of your artistic work that you're putting out there. So you're putting it out there.
I think I'm just trying to find keys. Yeah, I'm just trying to express myself. And I'm doing it. It's just I'm trying not to tag myself too much because I'm afraid of tags. I've been always worried about definitions and things, you know. And I think when you're open one door as a creative person, you just arrive in these rooms full of, you know, ways of expressions, and then I like to dive myself into it, you know, and just to dive in this lakes of emotions, and whatever comes out of it is just I'm swimming in it, you know, and I like to show the invisible, maybe trying to, I mean, every artist, I don't know if it's every creative person is. Mm-hmm. Everyone actually is trying to share their invisible, you know, the way you talk, the way you reach out to someone, the way you walk, the way you dress. There is something inside you that you don't really understand. And you're just like, I like this color. I like this way of walking. I like this food. I like this. We are all trying to understand what we are. And that's it.
Very true, very true. You see your growth, too, as an artist from the early mixed media that you've, with photographs, I believe you got acrylic on photographs, and then you've grown as an artist, and that must be very satisfying.
It was very exciting, yeah, but the thing is I was only showing on Instagram things, it was just a way of showing something because I wanted to share emotions, but I was not showing my work. I was just showing what I was drawing on my screen, and it started because I was sending, you know, it was my way of sending news to my friends. I was just using this lousy app that we have in the phone, you know, in the iPhone. And I was just drawing on the screen, taking a picture and drawing a few words, and then a little guy or something like, hey, I'm having a coffee there, and just I was sending it. And a friend of mine one day said, well, why don't you try to print this? You know, and I was like, oh, yeah, that could be fun. But I was always working on the side, doing my traditional painting thing. I was just not showing them. And because for some reason, I thought nobody would really understand it, you know. I was a singer or something, so I was, and then, you know, the confinement came in, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna share emotions this way, you know, because I had nothing to say but music and this. So started to show my work by this angle as well, and actually, yeah, the answer was fantastic, and yeah, it's really nice. It's really fulfilling to be on this kind of path these days.
Well, it must be fulfilling, too, to release this new album after 4 years since
it is.
We Cut the Night, yes, which was really fantastic. And it's 10 tracks, so I'm assuming you had a lot of tracks ready after so many years of not putting out a release, but you narrowed it down to 10.
Yeah, well, actually, you know what? We are trashing a lot of stuff, and we are cutting to the core. We want to keep the essential of it. So usually we don't really have so many songs in the bag, and we only take 10 out of it. It's just what is there is there. You know, what we do is there. Mm-hmm. We take a lot of time to do songs because I'm trying to. We go back on the songs every time, and we let it just like a good meal. You know, you let it cook a bit, and then you come back, and then you add a little thing. And on this record, we were trying to actually undress the whole thing. We wanted to be the closest to the less is more, really. Like, we want it to be big sounds with not many, so many instruments.
Yeah.
Actually, the whole album is a, it could be like a mirror to We Cut the Night. It could be the different,
that,
you know, the other side of the same coin.
Yeah.
Shimmering coin, shimmering coin tossed in the, you know, in the light.
Well, a great example is Keep Walking Love.
Mm-hmm.
It's a minimalist jam, but that really is a special song. Very interesting arrangement, too. But you're not losing a lot of instruments on that track.
Not so many. We are using less and less instruments, actually. We love piano for sure. And then we put the piano back in our machines, and then we sometimes you think it's a computer thing, but it's not. It's just filters and filters and filters that we put on the first piano thing. The first piano, I mean the traditional piano. But the first thing that stays with us as a rule out of every album, in every album, is that one song has to be has to be able to be sung just with a piano and a voice, you know, or a guitar and a voice. It has to be it has to be possible to be naked, and not just everything that you hear is just muscles around the skeleton.
Yeah, that's how Martin Gore writes too. He writes on he just writes all his songs on a guitar. And they stand up because even with all the electronic instrumentation, they stand up because at their core, there's some meat there.
Yeah, because you need to be able to change the songs but keep the emotions of it through the years. And this is what allows us to do it more and more on the stage during the years, you know, like to reorchestrate everything, rechange every song, like keeping the first core and then just add new muscles to it, new colors, new layers of clothing, you know. Yeah. They are animals.
That's a great way of putting it also. And by the way, I don't think I've heard a cover as emotional and as gripping. I mean, this is going back a long ways, back to the first album, but there's a live performance of it too, Strange Fruit.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
A song that's very applicable to today. And the way you delivered the live performance, it's on French television, I believe. It was just so emotional.
Still today, yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed the live version probably even more than the recorded.
Well, I remember the recorded version was done in one shot, and I was very sick that day. And we had to do it because we were somewhere, and we were like, okay, we're going to do it. But again, we had no clue this album would become this, you know. So
yeah,
we just recorded this the easy way, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. But for sure, I'm still playing it on stage because I love how this feeling is shared, you know. And also the really weird thing, we don't do so many covers. I mean, we've done a few lately, but just for fun, you know, but in on the albums we don't really record properly one. The Strange Fruit cover was to me essential because I wanted to share this feeling that it touched me, you know.
Yeah,
it's just
it's
not even about, I mean, I'm not being very literal there. I'm talking about the misfits in life, you know, the one that are decided to be misfits, pointed as misfits at some period of times, you know, like these people, and I feel like them, and I feel as a marginal guy most of the time, you know. I mean,
really?
In life, when most of the time, you know, I have to invent path for myself, you know, because I don't find paths that are nice for me, you know, so I'm always trying to push a little bit the boundaries of things, you know. As I said earlier, I don't like tags on things. It's really hard to me to say this is this, you know, and these people are this and we are this. And I mean, I grew up with a single mother, and I grew up with an American father and a French mother. So when I grew up, I really early in life, I understood that one object could have a different definition in two different languages. And this to me started to open a gate saying, oh, what I see is not necessarily what it is. You know, there is many ways of putting it, you know, of understanding an object, a feeling, a person. And it goes back to when I'm, because I'm going a bit far now, but when I'm going back just to Strange Fruit, the first, the song as a song is a beauty.
Yes.
And then the message is so strong mm-hmm. that you can literally put it to many, many angles in life. Again, the fact that I was white when I was singing it made a big problem back then. Still today, because people were like, okay, he's white, he cannot understand. And to me, that was the first problem of it, you know, mm-hmm. because you're like, this song was written by a gay Jewish guy in New York, white. And you know, it was made famous by Billie Holiday.
Yes.
But people think that it's a black woman singing for black people, but it was written by a white Jewish gay guy in New York, you know? So we understood the feeling. And what I'm saying there is that it's not a matter of color, it's a matter of heart, whether you understand if people can be outcast in the world or not. I mean, that's the message. So yeah.
I've actually heard that too about French people that have assimilated into American culture, that communication can be difficult from between the two cultures, the French and the American.
Sometimes
people can get very offended by the French way of communicating, and it's not intended that way. So the intention is not there, but you know, there are gaps in communication. Just because we're speaking the same language doesn't mean that there aren't gaps. I mean, it's a cultural thing.
I think it's a cultural thing, and I think it's also a world thing, being afraid of the others saying these are different, you know. I don't know. I see it when very close to me again, because I grew up with this ocean in between the two countries. So I see the big differences, but I also see the big similarities. You know, it's just, even though in America, like, the difference of cultures is huge between the people, the difference of understanding, of feelings, of, I mean, there is everything one can find is in America, mm-hmm. extreme things, you know? So yeah, I understand this European way against the American way, but then I also see many, many similarities, and this is why, for example, in cinemas in art, actually, like, American people love so much French stuff, and French love so much American stuff. You know, mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. big bridges all the time yes. growing in the two culture.
Very true. I guess we could talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, we can. Another huge bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
This relationship with Jean-Claude started out with an email. Can you tell us about that?
It started out actually with a phone call that he gave to me that I received 3 years ago, because he was editing his movie mm-hmm. and he was trying to find he was working on the soundtrack, and he was trying to find us to ask us to be part of the project. So oh. I was, after the two minutes of being in awe, like, is this really Jean-Claude Van Damme on the phone? You know, like, I wasn't sure. So after these 2 minutes of, yes, this is the real person talking to me, like, okay. And then we became friends from that on, you know, this first project. And when Ultra Rêve came out, I wanted to find a vessel that was able to carry these words in French of the chorus saying, don't be afraid, there's no mistake, because these words are so easy that they could be taken the wrong way. Like, you know, this slogan words that you hear every day, even in McDonald's, like, be yourself, come as you are, stuff like that, you know, just do it, stuff like, you know, slogans. I'm very interested in these things, but because of people try to say about freedom and buy and selling things at the same time. The message to me was really had to be taken the right way, saying, don't be afraid, there's no mistake. It's okay if you are a lame person. It's okay if you are not beautiful. It's okay if you're fat. It's okay if you miss things in life, if you're not a hero or stuff like that. And I think nowadays in the Instagram world and everything, this digital world is just pushing us to be extremely beautiful, extremely perfect, extremely great, have white teeth and, you know, abs, and we are getting away from the Bukowski life. And I love the Bukowski life, you know? And then I think that at some point, with all what's happening in the world right now, is just, can we just take a step back and understand that we are just making our own rules? This is crazy when you think about it. Every generation would be able to, every baby is born in a place where everyone is just taking this baby and they're saying, this is life, okay? So you have to do it like this. You have to be this. You have to walk like this. You have to, you're going to be dressed in blue because you're a boy and you're going to have this little milk there. I mean, you know what I mean? Every single thing that is around us, built or dreamed, has been one day dreamed by a human, which is crazy when you think of it. We could change everything every time. So from the buildings to the way we eat to, it's just, you know, codes that we have to, I don't know why, maybe to protect ourselves from the feeling that we are in a big round planet in the middle of nowhere. But, but you know, there's this thing that we are trying to say, life is like this. And we make many, I'm not being an anarchist here. Anarchist, you say?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
I'm not. No. Yeah, I'm not being this. I'm not saying we should burn everything. I'm just saying.
But ask questions.
Yeah, I'm just questioning everything about this because it can be very hurtful. And this song is for the fragile ones. You know, it's for the one that feels, you know, not very okay in this everyday society. And so to go back to these basic words, I wanted to find the proper vessel that could carry the worlds without the words without being laughed at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That one that could give the message in light. And Van Damme is an icon on our planet these days, these years, these past years, these decades. This guy is part of the icons. And I think when you say icon, it's funny because we're talking about the religious way, you know, the icons, and we are giving the same words. Is these people that are so big in life that we are looking up to them. And I think when you reach this stage of iconic, real iconic, not iconic for this year, you know, like not awarded people, just iconic real personalities, is because they are mirrors to our own humanity. And Jean-Claude, with all this huge power and huge fragility that he carries on with him, you know, in life, there is a special grace that comes from this guy that really belongs to him. And I thought it would be very the freedom that he's been sharing for years on cameras and on his speech, on his way of talking, on his everything, is it's very rare to me to be at this stage of fame in the planet, reaching by saying all this freedom. You know what I mean?
I love his direction that JCVD has taken.
Yeah.
And, you know, really the second stage of his career, he's really shown his vulnerability.
Yeah.
You know, you can really feel that in this video. It's a different side to Jean-Claude. And
exactly.
He's not afraid to show it.
That's what I'm saying. And so if this guy does it, I was like, okay, if you do this and, you know, you're so free that you can come into the waves at the end, you know, you're part of the world, you're aware of the hyper nature that is around us and that is real freedom to me, you know. And so if you are this free, people are going to be free with us and they're going to get the message. And it worked. So it's fantastic.
And over 1 million views. So, you know, the album is off to a good start.
Yeah.
You are playing shows and doing more live covers like Born to Die and Billie Eilish.
Yeah,
that sort
like
of thing.
That. Billie Eilish, not now. I don't think so. Maybe later because I love her so much.
You really
but,
do. Yeah,
I really like her. I think she's really a nice mirror of the society of today. I think there is something very interesting in this woman. Lana Del Rey, I really like her. Yeah, I do. And then French people, the old ones that I want to bring. I think there is a lot of future in our past, really, because people are just avoiding a lot of stuff that is not right now at the right moment, you know, but things like I'm always rediscovering books and singers and people that were very famous at that time and are not anymore, because, you know, so I'm diving in the past lately. I'm kind of tired of listening what's hip and what's not, you know. I'm just going in random places and find beauty there.
And you do the same with your art too, so very much enjoying that. And the album's out and it's available on vinyl. It's available on streaming everywhere. I think you're breaking into the U.S. market, and the press release was shocking. Like JCVD's dancing around, and I don't know how much you visited the USA. I mean, you have an American father.
Well, yeah, I did a lot, but more on the East Coast because he lives in Vermont. So yeah, we go on this side of the. I've did for many years, many time.
And other influences, Leonard Cohen, obviously a huge influence on you. And
thank you.
Yeah, musically, other influences, like you touched on older artists, older French artists. I mean, I'm actually curious now.
No, yeah, I'm just loving, you know, Gainsbourg is one of them. Cohen, of course. Henry Miller is one of them. Bukowski a lot, you know. And photographer as well, like Gregory Crutzen, are really just very inspiring. Jim Jarmusch as well. The We Cut the Night was mostly inspired by this last movie, the Only Lovers
Left Alive. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, inspiration mostly never come from music. To me, it comes from images, you know, from life. From we do, even when we talk. With Olivier, you know, when we do the music together, we talk in images much more than technical stuff. We are sharing emotions.
Really?
To us, a song is a landscape. Yeah. We really go like, okay, what would be the sound of a diving rock in the water? It's just for us, it's mountains, it's lakes, it's roads, it's everything. It's feelings of wind that we want to put in the music, or, you know, drying sun, burning sun, or cold snow, all this stuff that we talk, we exchange like this, much more than, okay, let's do a minor or a major or something, you know.
So much music now that comes out, it's you instantly like it and you're bored with it after a couple months.
Yeah, I know what you feel.
But it's an intriguing album, and one I think
thank
that deserves
you.
Repeated lesson. So thank you very much, Simon. Really appreciate you speaking
you
English. My French is atrocious. But much obliged.
Oh, come on, you know.
Much obliged.
Next time it will be in French.
thanks so much for taking the time. I really do appreciate it. And it was very satisfying to tell
you
personally how much I enjoyed Strange Fruit, because it was one of the most emotional and touching performances I've seen in a long, long time.
Well, I take it. I take it and put it close to my heart.
Good luck in the future. Hopefully we're playing live. We'll be seeing you play live very soon. Much obliged. Thank you.
Yeah. Life is going to be back on stage soon, you know.
Oh, yes. Cheers.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening to the Portland Podcast. I'm your host, Gregory Day. I produce and edit the show. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at greg@pdxpodcast.com. We'll be back with a brand new episode very shortly. See you then.